While we remain standing for a text, let's open the book of Revelation chapter 3. As we continue our study of the book of Revelation, the Sardisian church age. Church age number 5. Verse 1 to verse 6. I read in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, this thing said he, that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. We are in the fifth church age. That means we have studied the first church age, second church age, third, first church age, and the fourth one. What is the first church age? Thank you. Second church age? Eh? The first church age is Ephesus. The second church age is what? Smyrna. The third church age is what? Thyatira. Pergamos, the next church age is what? Thyatira. And now the fifth church age is what? Sardis. And all that is found, the churches are found in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11. And they have their angels according to our earlier study. To save time, go and get the tapes for the last four ages and even the first part of the fifth church age. I'm telling you, I'll continue to emphasize the importance of this study. This is the third pool. The angel of the Lord told William Branham how to fish, and God himself, hallelujah, Christ himself, told Peter, a fisherman, come and I will make you a fisher of who? Of men. Fishing men. Fishing, and if you notice, hallelujah, the Revelation chapter 17 mentioned about the woman that seated upon water. That woman there, and the Bible was trying to make us understand what that water is. He called it multitude, people, and multitude of people. So, if the world, therefore, is likened to water, then God himself has fishes in that water, his own, that he wants to fish out. Amen. Also, the last parable in Matthew 13 is the fishing net. That the fisherman throws his net and supposed to catch fish. Praise God. But it's not only the fish he's looking for that will enter that net. Therefore, after he brings them to shore, then he begins to sort out which one is the type he's looking for. What do you do with the rest? You throw them back inside the water. Because our God is a very merciful God. He returned them to where they come from. Don't destroy them. Just throw them back. Let them go the way they came from. Back to sender. Praise God. Because he's looking for fish. And there are small, small fishes and there are big, big fishes. And there are different, different types of fishes. I've explained it several times. There is crayfish. There is also electric fish. And each of them is to describe the type of fishes that are in that water. Amen. But the fisherman is looking for correct fish. There is a big fish. And the big fish before God is not a Pentecostal type of big fish. The big fish in the language of Pentecostal are people who have money that enter their church. But the big fish, scripturally big fish, is he whose name is written in the book of Lamb. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before the foundation, if you catch one, there is something about the seed of God. They are of a different taste, different brand. When you come near them, they are known as the salt of the earth. Praise the Lord. They are very salty. You want to taste them. You want to live near them. But electric fish will shock you. Crayfish condition will make them bend, even strike you. Praise God. But the real fish, there is something in them. When the deep call it to the deep. Amen. So when I say thought pool, I'm trying to explain it to you. For you to know what I am doing now. Amen. Because watch it. He told William Branham how to catch fish. The first and foremost, what do? You will get a fishing hook, correct? Everybody knows that now, how to fish. Eh? Then, if you carry naked hook, put there. No, nothing, not even the bad, even crayfish will not come there. Amen. Even snake, water snake, will not come there. So what do you put? You put a bait. Something that will attract the fish. Amen. Praise God. So in coming to eat that fish, that bait, the worm or whatever it is you put there, the type of food you know we like. In coming to eat it, he will gulp it and the hook will catch him. Amen. Then there are three stages of bringing it out. Hallelujah. Of bringing the fish out. And what is it? Every true ministry has three pools. A pool is something that will bring the fish. When you throw the first one you throw, the fishing bait there is the miracle, the signs and the wonders, the prophecies, the design, all those ones. When raw miracle takes place, then, but the first people that rush there is not a big, big fish. A big fish does not move like that. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's a big fish there. Everybody, the small, small ones will rush. Miracle seekers. Miracle seekers. All they are looking for. You are not following me because of the miracles, but because of the fish. The bread that you eat. Anytime they are hungry, that is when they remember Christ. They don't consider the miracle. They don't consider who is this man that at the mention of his name, every knee bows. Who is he that can turn bread and feed everybody? All they see is only the miracle. Next time, we were talking with a brother in the office now, and he was reminding me of a brother the devil wired him, brought him down, located brother assembly. Immediately he came here, God picked him up again, established him, he disappeared. So he's saying that very recently, he has started seeing him again in the church. He said, and when he went near, he found out that the guy, they don't hit him again. Then he remembered bride, they don't come back. So all that he knows, as far as brother assembly is concerned, is if you want deliverance, go there. Praise the Lord. He is not seeing the God that, he said, who is this God that rearranges me anytime they break me down? Such love, such wondrous love. Such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I.
How wonderful is love like this.
The brother does not know that God is speaking to him. I love you. Come to me. If you come to me, your life will be better. If you leave me, the devil will strike you so that he will stay and find out who is this one. That even though I don't have time for him, anytime I come, he receives me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, church. As soon as the big fish, they will not join that ministry. They must study it first. So they will come close to where that thing is dangling. Now real food today there. Abi na this abracadabra. Amen. So the first pull now takes place. It will pull up for the big fish to see. Say something that they are true. The gift there is real. Then the fish will come closer. When the fish come closer, praise the Lord. He is coming to eat. Amen. Actually, that is the second pull. It's the second pool that comes at the first pool. He dangle it in the sea. Small fishes will run there. The big fish only comes close. Then the second pool, now he takes it up a little bit. So that he will know that it is real. Here, no be arranging prophecy. No be arranging miracle. No be magic. This thing is real. Then he's ready, because that second pool will bring the fish to also come and eat as others are eating. He has been looking for a solution to his problem. Then the angel said, that second pool, when he's coming, said, prepare for the third pool. The third pool is the one that as he chop, the thing will hook him. Use that hook now. Pull him out of the water. Praise the Lord. And then the first pool, hallelujah, the first pool that God gave William Branham was the miracle. I mean, those healing, mighty healing, cancer disappear, all this, what do you call it? The cripples rise and walk. You know, mighty, that was and everybody was rushing, following him in his crusades. Then the second pool. Praise the Lord. He went deeper now in disarmament. Before the ministry of William Branham, all this disarmament you are seeing everywhere now, it was nowhere. He's the one that started it. God used him. And then he will tell you your name, where you come from. Go, your mother is healed. Before you reach house, you don't heal. Ah, this is too much. So now the real fish now say, Bill, I say, this is the same thing happening here, what I've been looking for. He said, then get ready for the third pool. And then he began to say things that only the fish, true fish, can receive. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know if they are here today. I don't know if they are here today. The real fish. Amen. Hallelujah. And when we started this ministry, come and see. We magnify so much the prophetic ministry. We magnify it so much. If you come here on Tuesday, you will see men, women, discernment was going on, nyafu nyafu. And it was pulling people to come. Amen. It was a pull. Now that the people are coming, attention has been brought to Bride Assembly. Everybody is watching us. Everybody is coming now. Prepare for the third pool. The third pool is the one that will bring you out of your sin, out of the denominational system. It is this third pool that will make you never go back to those dead systems. Hallelujah. It is the opening of the word. Why do we say opening of the word? There are revelations that God himself encoded. And you will reveal it only to such as should be saved. They are reserved for only the bride. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is exactly the state we are in now. And that's why I'm speaking confidently the way I'm speaking. To pull one fish out of the denominational system. Amen. And that is why we are taking our time in the book of Revelation. There are things you will hear more than this. The one I'm speaking now is to take you out of the denominational system. When we go further, it will now make you to run away from sin. You will see it in the Bible. Run away from sin and make your calling and election sure. Because it is what you know that will make you free. It's what you know. That's why you see me taking my time to take these messages. Very, very important. So we are now in the history. We are talking about the history of the church. For anybody hearing me for the first time, the study of the seven church ages is the history of the church from the day of Pentecost till now. When the gospel moved to the Gentiles and what was to go through. And it is written in the Bible, but it's encoded. Only the bride, because you won't see it in any bookshop. It is the bride's food. Jesus has a table spread. We are the saints of God. To his
fighting, choosing people.
Come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine.
With his manna, he does fare. The supplies are
every day.
All his fingers shop with Jesus all the time. Come and dine.
Come and dine. The master calling. Come and dine.
Oh, you may feel.
You may feel that Jesus table all the time.
You fed the multitude.
You fed the multitude.
From the water into wine,
to the hungry calling,
come and dine.
Sit down, it's a bright food. Those that it is not meant for, you will see them and go to sleep. Because it's not hitting their spirit. But those it is meant for, their eyes will open like this. Open. You touch them. They're not going to talk. Look yourself. They hear something they never hear before. May those people receive today in the name of Jesus. So here we are. Here we are. We have the church moving to the Gentiles. Salvation moving to the Gentiles. We saw it scripturally. It is divided into seven different dispensations. Given with those symbols that God hid and reveal only to his people. And we have looked at it because he had said that when the church was going to start, Jesus Christ said that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell are all the attempts Satan will do to quench the light of the gospel. And it's the history of the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. It is the history of Christ versus the Antichrist. That's all we'll be looking at. And my prayer is that God will cause me to say something that will make somebody take the right position in the steps we are taking towards eternal destination. That's all. That's all my prayer. I'm not here to show whether I know anything. I don't know anything. Hallelujah. I don't know anything. Nothing. No human being knows anything. Hallelujah. I don't know it better than you. The same way you are hearing it, that is how I had it. The only thing is that I had it before you. That's all. That's all. Nothing more. I had it before you. That is why I have the privilege to come and share it with you. And the evidence that I'm a true witness is the life that I live. Because if what I know does not reflect in the life that I live, then how has that knowledge profited me? That would make me a false witness. Praise the Lord. If I teach you what the Holy Ghost does in a man, then if I have also experienced, I should be able to tell you I've experienced the Holy Ghost. Not like the man that William Branham was saying he went to meet. A Lutheran person he went to meet in their days. He said he has a big seminary school where he's teaching people. And then he teaches the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And William Branham asked him, "You teach about the power of God, the gift of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost?" He said, "Yes." He teaches it in his school. He said, "Do you have the Holy Ghost?" He said, "That's the problem he has." He said, "He teaches it, but he knows he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. So what are you teaching? You're a copy-paste piece." Hallelujah. And a preacher should only preach what another person preaches if he has experienced what that person teaches. If not, you are only a copy tapist. And that is the spirit of denominationalism. I am teaching you what I have experienced and what I believe. And I'm ready to die for what I believe. Because I know it to be the truth. Praise the Lord. And please listen to me. If I teach anything, and tomorrow I found out that what I taught today is wrong, I will come and apologize and correct myself. I must not be too proud, because every day we learn. And I can only tell you what I know now. If tomorrow I come no different, and what I know is better than what I taught before, and I know it to be the truth, there should be no shame about it. I stand before the whole world and say, ask questions. I should not be ashamed. If you ask me a question, why I don't know, I go tell you, say, I don't know. And it's no sin. I have not committed sin if I say, I don't know. If I must know, you must know too. So why are you finding me guilty? Because I don't know. And that is the problem with preachers. They want to look like supermen. And so they don't want to admit that they too can be in error. Until you come to that estate, God can never use you. Praise the Lord. And so you may be listening to me now. There are messages that I have preached before. And if you see me saying anything contrary to what I have taught before, please point my attention to it. So that I can tell you why I am saying it different from what I have spoken before. If you saw that because I discover every day God grants me deeper and deeper and deeper knowledge of His word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I jumped out from my room, dashed to my wife's room. She's the first person I preach to if I catch any revelation. Hallelujah. And I called Pastor Weston in Jos, because we seem to be understanding in the same direction. So that if I'm wrong, he should correct me. And then see what I found out. I'm using that as an example. When we come to that thing, we will talk deeper in it. I have found out that Judas did not go to hell. I'll prove it. Praise the Lord. That is the truth. Hallelujah. I will come to it and I will prove it. I'm using it as an example. But I have spoken here several times. Judas, go to hell. Until you explain to me the meaning of Romans chapter 11 verse 29. The gift and calling of God is without repentance. In its true context. Then you will let me know also why. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why the 12 tribes of Israel, in one portion, they are not God, what do you call him? Dan and Ephraim are not mentioned. Because of the sin they committed. That tribe was removed. Then you come again in Revelation chapter 7, the 144,000, 12 from every tribe, Dan and Ephraim, are not mentioned. Instead, they are replaced there by Manasseh and praise the Lord. Listen, I'm only brushing through it. Then you will tell me why. But when we come to the millennium, those two tribes that were removed because of the sin they committed, they are in the millennium, complete as it was in the beginning. You will tell me why. Then you will know why his name, Judas' name, was removed. And I found out that there is a book of life that is in heaven. And there is another book that is under the heaven. And that your name can be removed from the book that is under the heaven. But the one that is... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And for the first time I got to understand why Saul was rejected. Because of the abomination he committed. But when the witch of Endor called the spirit of Samuel, Samuel said, Saul, today you will join me. Was Samuel in hell? So Saul that was rejected by God, and David was appointed to replace him. Hallelujah. Rejected by God. But here is Samuel saying, today you will be with me. Where was Samuel? If Samuel is in hell, then Saul is going to hell. Amen. The gift and calling of God. Go to verse 27, 28, 29 up of Romans chapter 11. He says, so all Israel shall be saved. He said, all. All Israel shall be saved. He said, for the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. But he also told the Romans in chapter 9, verse 6. He said, not all Israel are of Israel. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seed. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise the Lord. All his own will be saved. He's the one that called Judah. So among the 24 elders, in Revelation chapter 4, Judah's name is there. Praise the Lord. I am saying this for a reason. Praise God. I am saying this for a reason. God is making us understand the process of salvation better and better and better every day. Every day. Hallelujah. He's still talking to his bride. That will help us understand why some people are cut off. Their ministries are cut off. Why it is cut off. We will come to that as we continue to study. It helps us. I'm saying this because there are things that we are going to be saying in this study as the Lord grant us more and more understanding as we are studying the scripture. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God does not save you today and drop you, but his own, he will deal with you. Go and read the place of Judas. The Acts chapter 1, when Peter said that let his place be taken by another. Praise the Lord. His place is taken by another in the earthly ministry. In the earthly ministry. So that no glory, he will not take any glory for his punishment. And if you see the way Judas died, he didn't die like a serpent seed. Judas died after he realized what he did was wrong. Hallelujah. He died, he killed himself, he could not forgive himself. Also, look back in the Old Testament. If you commit any sin, they will stone you to death. That death they stone you is punishment. It's punishment. Oh. Death in the Old Testament was punishment for those who commit anything. So that you will go away with the abomination. But what role you will have played in the program of God, you are removed from it. And another one will take your place. But that one does not take your place in heaven. It takes your place only in the earthly activities of the ministry. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. Praise God. That's contrary to all the teachings I have received. But I can prove everything from the Bible. Praise the Lord. So we come to the fifth church age, where we saw the peculiarity of the city of Sardis. And why that city was chosen to type the fifth church age. To recount, the age started from 1815-20 and it lasted to age is 1750. It is the age of the beginning of reformation of the church. It is the beginning of the restoration of the corrupted mill, as indicated by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. It was the fulfillment of the growing seed parable in Mark chapter 4, and verse 26 to 29. And this parable, praise the Lord, is the fulfillment of Matthew 13 and verse 44. The messenger to this age, praise the Lord, the messenger to this age was Martin Luther, and we gave all the reasons that made him to be the star messenger to that age of Sardis. Praise the Lord. Today, we want to look at the other part of that message to that church. The denunciation. Let's see how he put it. Chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3. Let's go back there. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, right? These things said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He started by saying, I know thy works. What does he know? That thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Thou hast a name, that thou livest, that you are dead. And let me read something William Branham spoke concerning that in the Exposition of the Seven Church Age book, page 256. Page 256. Okay. The second or third paragraph there. The third paragraph. It says, now, I just said that this era, this Sardesian church age era, gave tremendous growth to the denominational spirit. If the Corinthians' attitude of I am of Paul, I of Cephas, was ever exhibited, it was now. There were Lutherans, Hussites, Zwingli's party, and etc. Such fragmentation of the body was deplorable. They were living a name, but we are dead. Certainly they were dead. They died the minute they organized. The great groups organized and tied themselves in matrimony to the state. That did it. They were finished. Here were those Lutherans who had criticized the Roman church. They knew the righteousness of political and spiritual unions, yet Luther, as when Peter was overbalanced by the Judaizers, went right ahead and made the state instead of God the defender of the faith. This is the first denomination of repute that came out of the harlot. But when Luther died, it was not long until it had a hierarchy like the one it had fought. This move of God, by the time the second generation came along, was right back under the wing of her mother. She had gone back and did not even know it. They had taken on their own name above his name. They were living their own name too. And all the denominations are doing that very thing today. They are living their own name and not the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is easily seen, for every church is known by the way it worships, but none are known by the power of God. There is your test. And I want you to notice right here that this era did not have the signs and wonders among them. They gave up the power of God for the power of the state. They clung to their own name. They made their names great. It was that old spirit of getting everyone into his fold. Today, the Baptists want the Methodists to come over to the Baptists. The Methodists are out to proselytize the Presbyterians, and the Pentecostals want them all. Each claims to offer the most and to hold out the greatest hopes, a sort of door to heaven, or at least the way to a more abundant entrance. How tragic it all is. This denominational spirit has made all the denominations write their manuals and teach their creeds, set up their offices and church governments, and then each claims that she and she alone truly speaks for God, as she is the best qualified. Now, if that isn't exactly what the Pope and the Roman Church are doing, they are right back there with their mother, the harlot, and don't know it. In closing our comments on this verse, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead," I cannot impress upon you too strongly that this age, though it brought the Reformation, was most sternly rebuked by God instead of being praised, because that age sowed the seed of denomination that organized right back to the harlot. After God had opened the door of escape, when the move away from the Catholic Church took place, it was not truly spiritual as a whole, but more political. Most of the people took up with Protestantism because, as I have stated, they hated the Roman system of political and financial bondage. Thus, instead of this being a great spiritual move with all the earmarks of Holy Spirit influence, as when God used purely spiritual means to accomplish his ends at Pentecost, it was indeed a work wherein the wrath of man praised God. And the results paralleled the history of Israel when she left Egypt and wandered in the desert, not making it to Canaan land. However, much was accomplished in that where the yoke of Rome was even partly broken, men could now receive the word of God and yield to the influence of the Spirit without such great fear as formerly. This opened the door to the great missionary age that followed. The Jezebel of Thyatira was in no mood to give up her hold upon the people, and thus we see her daughter Athaliah raise her head in the Sardisian age with the hopes that she will be able to strangle the true seed by schemes and her organization. That is what happened in that age. That is the meaning of what the Spirit Christ was telling that age. "I know thy word, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. And I told you that these spirits, each one that he used, Satan used to attack every age, he applies it in the next age and adds more. So that in this seventh church age that we are in now, the picture can be clearer. You can now see that the same thing that started, immediately they left, the Lutherans are the first ones that broke out of the Catholicism. The reason they broke out of Catholicism, like William Branham bringing it out here, it was more for a political reason, because now I understand better why we look at it. Yes, it was a time for the restoration, but I understand better now, because it was the German emperor that, of course, if you rose against the Roman system, that time they kill you. And Roman Catholicism had engulfed the whole of Europe. They were the dominant force at that time. And the false church was able to have the backing of the states, so that if they declare you heretic, they kill you. You either join the Roman Catholic Church or they kill you. You rose to say anything against them. That was why the preceding age, 1,000 years, total darkness. No light. So now, immediately, Luther had that visitation by God and saw the need now to pull out. How is he going to succeed without the backing of another state, another power? Because the Roman Church had the backing of a political power. And so, but as at that time, the German government, rulership, political system that time, also observe how that before you know what, they are are governing subjects that are not loyal to them by virtue of their Catholic faith. They are loyal to some power in Rome. So even their seat was shaky because that man can stay there. Anything he tells them to do, they will do it. Above that, all the offerings, all the tithes, all the money was sent to Rome. And so when they now saw somebody that rose up, a German, that rose up against the Catholic system, it is only normal for political gain that they will say no touch him. Because they know what they will gain if the man succeeds. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that same spirit that they thought they ran away was only going to form in another way. So they too had a setback. And that is why it succeeded. But all things work together for good. So God actually used that emperor in Germany for the first stage of the restoration to take place. But while he is busy thinking, he's using it for his political power, God was using it for restoration. Praise the Lord. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. That's why I say that woman pastor that is pastoring, although she's out of the will of God, under her, God can through her save his seeds that are there. Amen. All things work together for good. Before the man the seed will find his way, God will accomplish his purpose there. So that is exactly what they live. Now, when they left the Catholic Church, they will need an identity. So before you know what they had a name, we are Lutherans, we are not Catholics. That is where the spirit started. So any other people too that left, because at that time, groups began to spring up. If Luther succeeded, then we too, let's have our own. We too, let's have our own. We too, let's have our own. In the reformation process, because he called the just shall live by faith. Amen. Another one called eternal security. Another one called the need for correct baptism. Another one called even oneness. Baptism is in the name of Jesus, Godhead. Everyone was tearing up because the power, the Roman power, that beast has been wounded. While he's there nursing the wound, people were running out. The door of escape was open in that age. Praise the Lord. But the sad thing about it all is that God was not happy with them, because he said, there is a name they live by. That name they live by, that thing is still with us till today. If you ask somebody, are you a Christian? He will tell you the name he lives by. What is the name you live by? That is what he's thinking. He said, are you a Christian? I am Catholic. I am Baptist. I am Equa. I am redeemed. In fact, they are even, you know, what do you call them? Branded names. Now you are redeemed family. You are choosing. No, it's a name you live by. Are you a choosing? Anywhere they stop you, if Satan come to you and they want to attack you, just tell them, I am a choosing. Because that is the name they live by. And he said, but they are dead. You are dead, oh! This is not how Christianity should be. God hates it. While you are bragging down that we are this, we are that, we are this, in the spirit is looking at you. You are dead. There is no life in the name of any church. There is only one name that is given for salvation. Whereby man shall be saved. What is that name? What is that name?
I thought you would say Omega Fire. I thought you would shout Bride. Bride Assembly. Bride Assembly. Bride Family. Bride. If you have it here, the Spirit has caught us. If you are going to associate with any Christian outside, only because he is a member of your church, you are dead. You are dead. I'm speaking to the bride of Jesus Christ. Your identity is Christ, not the church. God looks at it and says, you are dead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's an insult to the blood of Jesus Christ. It's an insult to the name of Jesus Christ for anybody to sell any other name for salvation to you. And some of us are raised up to defend that name. Defend that. That is wrong. Until they look at any other person who is not attending your church and you are not a Christian. Even when we are neighbors here, we cannot pass their frontage easily. Even when we are neighbors here, when they demolished this church here, did they come to greet us? They were rejoicing. Why? Because we are not members of their church. Is that Christianity? They will not employ you. I know of somebody from Mountain of Fire that knew our sister. One of our sisters here confesses that I know you're a Christian. I believe you're a Christian. And when it was time to employ some people, all the qualifications she has it. But say, you know what? I can't employ you because you are not a member of our church. If you change and join our church today, we will give you. They want that young girl to sell her birthright for a job. To compromise her faith for a job. And beg her, just change now and come. Just change now and join us. And because of it, right there in the Siam, he was employing her other mates that we are in that church. But for her, because he is not, is that Christianity? It's wrong. That is this. What that age, that is where the spirit started. Until it is what it is today. I'm saying this hoping that because so many churches now listen to us and correct so many things. And I'm hoping that Lazarus Mwoka will hear me and take away that spirit from his church. And behave like a Christian. There's no politics in the church. No politics in the church. It is that spirit that made people go out for evangelism. You are not going to win cross souls for Christ. You are looking for members. So if you meet somebody and he tells you, I'm a member of Baptist. And then you are from Trem or Redeem. And they say, Baptist. Come over to Redeem. Can't you see? Everybody is in Redeem. Even the vice president is from Redeem. Why not come to where it is happening? Bank managers are there. Directors are there. If you come there, you will get connection. What are you doing in Baptist? Come to Redeem. Christianity has been reduced to that. Shame on all the leaders. Shame on all of you for bringing out your people in that way. If you deal like that outside with other Christians, my hand no dead there. I didn't teach you that. I teach you Christ, not church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger, on earth alone, to be like him, my faithful Savior.
how rich his favor on earth alone to be like him, to be like him, to be like Jesus,
to be like Jesus,
to be like Jesus
on earth alone,
on earth alone, to be like him. From man to glory, I only have to be like him.
This is how he is. This is how he is.
Spirit and holy, oh, be then lonely.
He's not proud, very lonely, very humble. Hallelujah.
To be like him.
Oh,
by grace for thee.
It's great, it's great. We are where we are by grace.
I'm heaven.
Oh, yes. Oh,
all in the Lord. To be like.
Let me hear the sisters.
To be like him.
You attend. The identity is the image of Jesus Christ. That's all. What I'm trying to do is to create true unity. And true unity is not by an association. And you don't begin if the image of Jesus Christ is not the image of pride. Because you know something, you don't begin to look down on others. You don't begin to look at your sister that is palming her hair. She who does not believe what you believe. And begin to paint her a devil, mami water. Christ will never do that. So you can be sitting down here, you are guilty of the same thing. That's the truth. Because some of you rate who is a Christian by the dress. No, it's more than dress. Dress is inclusive, but it's more than that. And every appearance can be impersonated. And you may be dealing with a hypocrite Christian. And you think that's a Christian because of the dress. He no palm. He no wear trouser. But inside now, devil, devil, devil can be inside. It's more than that. We know better. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What you do is not to condemn her or condemn him. It's to pray for him. That's the spirit of Christ. To pray, that's how you know you are a true Christian. Until you are able to love your enemies, you are not yet Christ-like. Oh yes, until you are able to forgive, you are not yet Christ-like.
Until you are ready to always appreciate salvation that came to you, that it is by grace, not that you earned it. You can be proud of the certificate you have because you study very well to have it. But what did you do to get salvation? Therefore, why will you be proud that you are saved and somebody is not saved? It's wrong. Praise the Lord.